if you have them. Matthew chapter 12. We bought a house off of John Paul. Have I said enough? I'm like, I need a door, and so I took a closet door off. I just took it off. My wife's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm preaching." She's learned to just be like, "Okay." And what I learned was that they only painted the outsides of their doors. It's like, who does that? But so that's don't have John paint your doors for you. I am glad to be here, and I appreciate so much your testimonies and your songs and all that God has done here in this place, as we said. In Matthew chapter number 12, I just want to talk to you just for a few minutes, and I love having the kids in here. That doesn't bother me. I'm a youth pastor, so I am used to dealing with short attention spans, and I'm glad to have the kids in here too. But I'm used to that, and so I want to talk to you a little bit about Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 46. Just a funny story that I'll share with you before we get started. I was talking to Kelly about some things and about what the plan was, and I was sharing with her about what I was feeling the Lord wanted me to talk to you about, and she was telling me about the setup and everything, and so I sent her a text message the next morning. Man, I knew what I wanted to preach. I knew exactly the direction I wanted to go, and I said, "Kelly, I know what it is. Here's what I want to talk about," and I said, it's Matthew chapter 13, verse number 47 to 50. Well, I meant Matthew 12, 47 to 50. Now, let me read to you Matthew chapter 13, 47 to 50. Here's what I said I was going to preach at your family camp. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast in the sea and gathered of every kind, which was when it was full. They drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good in the vessels and cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world when the angels come forth and sever the wicked among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." And Kelly tried to be as Jesus-y as she could. She said, I still have the text. I'll Facebook it later. It says, "I'm interested to see where you go with that." That's what she said. So, but I had it wrong. I had the chapter wrong. But context. And you're still Bible people here, aren't you? Still love the Bible. And you always have, and hopefully you always will. In Matthew chapter number 12, everybody say thank you. Verse number 46. "And while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. And said one to him, Behold, thy brother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with you. And he answered and said to him that told him, Who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." I want to call this tonight, I love the church. I love the church. Do you not love your church?
We do.
You do. You love the church. So let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for your word. We do love the church. In a world today, Father, where we are, even sometimes from the inside of the church, being told that's not really that important. God, we love this place. Lord, we shudder to think where our lives would be without the church, our marriages, our kids, our families. So today we gather around your table and we just thank you for your church. We're excited about what you're doing, not only in this church, but in the worldwide church. For we believe it's an unstoppable force in the world. We love you, we thank you, in Jesus' name. All God's people said.
Amen.
I want to take my door and I want to give you two different sides. And one side, of course, is the outside. The outside of Big Branch Church. It's the outside of whatever church you're looking at. Many people spend their lives, their whole lives, wondering what's behind there. They want to know what that is. And some people just kind of go with whatever someone has told them, and they really haven't even been back there, but they'll listen to what that person says. I'm not going to go to that church. Here's why I'm not going to go to that church. Because did you hear about that one time? Did you hear about that? Did you hear about years ago I heard about that church, and here's what happened behind that door. And what you do is you spend your life, and oftentimes, even as Christian people, as quote-unquote followers of Christ, there's this era we went through where it was like we were almost anti-church ourselves. And we'd say crazy things like, you know, we're not really church people either. And I'm thinking, then what are you? Because when the reality, when you think about it, our responsibility is, and we think about the church, and think about what it is to stand outside the church, and what it means to stand outside from it, and had your life never passed through it. Had you as a mom never entered the door of the church? Had you as a dad or a husband or a wife never been drawn to a church or to a place? And so we have a group of people and a culture of people that say, you know what, you can love Jesus, you just don't have to like his wife. Because make no mistake, the church is the bride of Christ. If you say you like me, but you have a problem with my wife, which is never the thing, but if you say you don't like, you say, I like you, Ryan, but your wife, we've got a problem. And so what we have here is, we have the outside of the church, we have people that are saying, okay, I'm not ever going to go back there. I don't want to know what's back there, and whatever's back there, I know it's not going to help me anyway. I've heard stories of the other side of that door. Matter of fact, I've been on a few sides of those doors, and everyone I've been in is the same. And so you spend your life and you try to do the walking and following Jesus, but there's something missing, and there always will be without a church. Always. And then not only we have the outside of the church, but we have the inside of the church, which I'm going to use for John Paul's painting here, and I'm going to use it for this because the church will just say, when you think about it, it's not perfect, is it? No. Just added that right there. Did you see that? So it's not perfect. It has problems. It has issues. It's been painted by Patterson's, right? The thought, when you think about that. So the thought is, we'd see this, there are a lot of people that they would spend their lives inside the church. And the reality is, we think about this, what it should be is you should spend your relationship with Jesus actually on both sides of this door. Amen. There are people that will spend their lives on this side of this door and say, out there, we don't go out there. We don't mess with them out there. We're good. They're bad. We wear white hats. They wear black hats. Let's just pray. Let's just get together and let's just pray. Let's just pray for them. And hopefully they will drive. They will miss a curve and they will drive in here. And one morning, maybe it'll be Easter. Maybe it'll be Christmas. But let's just stay here and let's just hope and let's just pray and let's just go on defense. And there are other people that are the opposite side that they would stay here and say, I'm never going in that place. And then there are people in here that's saying, I'm never going outside of this place. And I'm telling you, to have a victorious Christian life, this door is going to have to swing. Amen. It's going to have to swing. And that way, when you go to someone's door and you say, hey, you should come to Big Branch Church. The reason you can say that with confidence and the reason you can tell them what a blessing that church has been to you is because you have been on the inside. Amen. There are people today that are out talking about their church and they haven't been on the inside long enough to say anything about it. Jesus did not come to the earth to start a faith. Jesus came to the earth to start a family. And all families need a door. And so when we think about where we are today, I want you to know that in Matthew chapter 12, what I just read, it's actually a scene of a door. And what's crazy about this scene is the disciples are actually on the inside, and Jesus has all these people on the inside of the door, on the inside of this place, and his mother and his brothers are outside the door. So Jesus is outside. Jesus is on the inside. So his view would be inside. And his mother, his brothers and all them are on the outside looking in. And Mark actually tells us that they go there to get Jesus because they think he's lost his mind. They think he's absolutely crazy with the whole, I think I'm God talk. I know I'm God talk. And so Mark actually goes deeper into this and says the reason they go is because they're trying to kind of settle him down and calm him down. And so they go on the outside. We see it says, then one said, and behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak. So they say, outside of here, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are out there and they want to talk to you. And Jesus' response is, who's my mother? What, you never seen a Christmas play, Jesus? I'll tell you who your mother is. Your mother is Mary. Who's my brothers? And he says, who's my brothers? And then what's the reaction is? And he stretched forth his hands toward his disciples, toward the people inside the door, and says, this is family. This is who my family is. Those that do the will of my Father, this is my family. I want you to grasp that, Big Branch Church. He just said, yeah, that's family out there. He's not downgrading the family. He's not being rude. He's being truthful in saying that there is a place in Jesus Christ where you are just as close to him as Mary. You are just as related to Jesus as James was, if not more. Jesus is saying, you're on the outside looking in, but I'm on the inside saying, the people in here, guys, this is my real family. When you grasp that, when you understand that I don't have to live my life now on the outside looking in saying, man, I wish I could measure up. I wish I could be in that family. I wish I could fit into that. I want you to understand that through Jesus Christ, you're welcome into the family. And I love the church. And I don't know if you have thought for a while about your church, but I want to give you some reasons why I love the church. I love the church as I think about all the things I love about the church. Yeah, it's faults. The church has faults. I love the fact that the church is, it's a center for, it's a place for hospital. It's a center for hospital. It's not a museum for saints. When I think about my love for the church and your love for the church, shouldn't we love the church because of its founder, because of who founded it? I love the church because of its founder. Listen, I'm telling you, when you think about that, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He's the head of the church. If you love the founder, you'll love what he founded. If you love the founder, you'll love what he founded. So if you love that, then the Bible knows nothing of an unchurched Christian. The New Testament knows nothing of a Christian who wasn't a part of a body of believers. Other than the thief on the cross, and he was going to paradise with Jesus that day. So I love the church. When I think about my love for the church, I love the church because of its founder. Who founded this church? It wasn't some pastor. It wasn't some deacon. It wasn't some board somewhere. Ultimately, the sovereign God of the universe, before the foundation of the world, knew we would be here tonight. And he knew that Big Branch Church would be where it's at in this place. Acts actually says that he set our habitations, where we'd be born, where we'd live, the time period we'd live in. And I think we're living in the most exciting time on the planet to be a Christian. I love the church because of who founded it. It's precious to me because he's the head of it. If you ever wanted to drown someone, you couldn't drown them until you really think about it, drown their head. And the church will not go down. Amen. And the reason the church will not go under is because the head is Jesus Christ. It'll not. And so his founder, I love the church because of its founder. I not only love the church because of its founder, I love the church because of its foundation. What's its foundation? The scriptures, the owner's manual. I love the church because of the foundations. He told Peter, he said, your name is Cephas, but your name shall be Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Its foundation is the truth. Jesus is the truth. The scripture is the owner's manual. Thy word is truth. I love being on the inside of this door because of its founder. And I love being on the inside of this door because of the foundation that's been set. The B-I-B-L-E. It will stand forever, church. it will. It'll stand forever. It'll stand when everything else has fallen, the Bible will still be around. The Bible will still be. As a matter of fact, the only two things that'll be on in heaven that are on earth are people and the Word of God. You better invest your life in both. Because it's the only two things that'll be there. People and the Word of God. And so when we think about this, when we think about its foundation, think about that. The owner's manual. I got an owner's manual in our car and in our truck that I never really read until your brake line bust. But you go through and you read it. And if you read that, that thing actually has specifications for everything. I'm talking about tire pressure. I'm talking about windshield wiper fluid. It tells me everything I'm supposed to be doing to that car and to that truck. And I do none of that. I mean, not even close. I don't get through the table of contents. I don't make it through any of that. You have an owner's manual. I'm telling you, if you look in your dash, that's the thing. If you look in your dash, there is, and it's nice. It's in like a leather thing, right? It's very pretty. And so you pull that thing out, and it'll say, here's what your tire pressure is supposed to be. Here's what your oil is supposed to be. Here's what kind of gas you're supposed to put in it. But I don't do any of that. And then something happens, and I break down. And then I'll check it out from time to time, and I'll say, I wonder what that says. I would imagine if I would just go by that in the first place. I would imagine if I would just go by that. You say, man, how do you do the marriage thing? Listen, there's a really cool manual for that. It's got a leather cover. And if you will actually go by this, your marriage will run well. You know that? I wonder how we should raise kids. Listen. There's a manual for that. I love the church because of its founder. I love the church because of its foundation. Do you realize tonight this Bible is precious? It ought to be precious to you. You don't need someone to tell you anything more or anything less than this book. If you've got a pastor that stands up here and you do and proclaims to you what this book says, that's all you need. I mean, you can handle different types of songs and different types of structure and different types of chairs and different types of lighting, but you cannot take out the book. You can't. You can change all that. And it's okay to change those things. But listen, never change this. Stay with this. I love being on the inside of this door because on the inside of this door, it's the founder and it's the foundation. The Word of God is the foundation behind this door. I love the church because of its foundation. I love the church, you'll like this, maybe, I love the church because of its family. I love the church because of its family. The Bible says we know we've passed from death into life. We know we've passed from death into life. We love the brethren, 1 John 3:14. I love the church because of the family atmosphere. I love the church because of the members of the church. I love the church because of the ministers of the church. I love the church because of the missionaries that the church sends out. I love the family of the church. I want you to think about, when you think about the family of the church, the family of God. If I was to connect you and I was to take yarn and I was to connect all your families and I were to set you at a table and I put your family here and another family here and another family here and I took yarn and I just started connecting you and connecting the dots between you and this table and this table and this table, and then we had an illustration and I said, okay, you're going to get mad at that group and we'll cut the yarn, and you're mad at that group and you'll cut the yarn, and you're mad at that guy because he said something you didn't like, you cut the yarn. Everybody's cutting the yarn to that, right? And you're cutting the yarn, cutting the yarn, and you're all doing that, and then this guy didn't like what he said and she made me mad, and cutting the yarn. And you could watch it visually. What would happen would be, you would be cutting all these sources of encouragement and love and family. And what we got, it, we've isolated ourselves so much. We could be separated, but not isolated. And many churches are isolated, proclaiming separated. Amen. And the reality is, it's nothing more than isolation. And we've isolated ourselves. But I'm telling you, I love the church because of its family, its members. Some of my dearest friends on the planet go to my church. Some of the greatest people I know, I go to church with Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I love the church. The members of our church and the people that will call me and text me and pray for me and give me and pray for me and sit down with me and take me out to eat. And when my daughter gets hearing aids stuck in her head, it's the church that calls. It's the church. When I've had no money, it's the church. A member of a church would walk up to you and say, "Hey, God said." When I've had no hope, it seemed like, it's a church member that's put their arm around me. My church has loved me through some messes. My church has watched me wobble and fall and wobble and fall and get back up and fall. My church has watched me suffer. My church has watched me be sick. My church has watched my loved ones pass away. I've had family members we put in caskets into the ground, and my church family beats my family to the funeral home. Most of my encouraging calls come from 304 numbers. It's the church. As we go through trials and tribulations and sufferings, it's people from all over the world and all over the United States that'll call you and send you a text and say, "Hey, I thought of you today." Where do you get that at other than church? I love the members of the church. I love the ministers of the church. I like talking to preachers and other people around. Man, you ought to encourage your preacher and to talk to a preacher, to talk to someone about, I love talking to them about sermons and Bible, and that's some of my favorite topics. I love missionaries that we're sending out. We had a guy that came to our church that's a missionary, and he was talking to these for one of the Muslim countries, and he was preaching a couple of Sunday nights ago, and he said, "Yeah, I was going to go home after church one night, and they blew up my house." And then, "Whoa, what?" So I got with him, and I said, "You just said they blew up your house like you had a flat tire or something. What is that? What do you mean they blew up your house?" He said, "Yeah, that happens." I thought, he actually had a baptism at his church. The police came to his church and said, "You probably shouldn't go home." And he said, "Why?" He said, "Because they're probably going to destroy your home." And they did. I love missionaries. Think about a guy who gets his house blown up and then just keeps on preaching. Who does that? Who does that outside this door? Who does that outside the church? I love the church because of its family. You've got family here. I love this theme. Come to the table. This is where family is, where we gather. And you've got to see this, not just as your family coming to a place and then leaving and going away, and then you'll see each other next week. No, this is your family. That's what Jesus was saying. Hey, your brother's out here. And he said, "Nah, I got brothers in here." Hey, your mother's out there. "Ah, who's that?" My family is in here. My family is those who do the will of my Father. And we understand the privilege that is, an understanding that as we think about our relationship with Jesus Christ, He actually calls us family. I love the church because of its founder, its foundation, its family. I love the church because of its function. What's its function? It's preaching, it's praying, it's praising. I love all of those things. The function of the church, when you get together, the preaching. I could hear preaching all day. I couldn't hear me, neither could you, but I could hear preaching all day. I love to hear preachers preach. I love it. When I was just a teenager, my friends would say, "Hey, I'm going to go here. You want to go?" "No, I'm going to go hear a preacher." I love to hear preachers preach. I've never got over listening to a guy take the Word of God and expound on it and tell me what God is saying to him, because I believe that God will speak to me through him. I love that. Don't ever get tired of preaching. I love the church because of its preaching. I love the church because of its praising. I love that. I love to get together and sing those songs, whether they be old or new or in between. I'm a Baptist, but one of my favorite verses is singing to the Lord a new song. Amen. Sing a new one. I like that. I do. I like that there is a new one. And so the when you think about that, I love praising. And I love praying. You guys got a room to pray in. You're just weird. I love it. I love it. Hey, something tragic happens in your life, you're going to want that. It might just be a room that you might just walk by from time to time. You might walk by and maybe look in it every once in a while. But I'm telling you, something happens in your family, you're going to be in there. And your hope is that someone else is in there for you. I love the church because of the preaching and the praying. I love the church because of its function, what the church does, what the church is, its function. All the things change in the way that culture changes. We can still keep those three, preaching, praising, and praying. You can switch those any way you want. You can mix them up however you want, but keep those three. To come together and pray. To come together as a body and pray. To come together as a body and praise. To come together ultimately around the Word of God and hear a man of God proclaim the Word of God. I love the function of the church. I love the fruit of the church. I love its fruit. What's that? And listen. How many of you, your lives, you don't have to say anything, but how many of you, your lives are drastically changed? Because of the church. It's just different. It's different because you went from one side of the door to the other. Your life has changed. Your life is different. Why is it different? Because of the fruit of the church. Listen, I don't know all your stories, but I can promise you in a crowd this size, there are marriages in here right now that should not still be together. Because of the enemy and because of the world, but the church stepped in. Amen. And because the church stepped in, now you're thriving. Why are you thriving? Well, I just decided one day we'd start church. No, no, no. God decided that. God drew you here. And as God drew you here, now your family is strong. Why is your family strong? All because we just got it together. No, you didn't. And you still don't have it all together. And you didn't, I'm just going to decide one day we're going to get this thing right. No, the church, the fruit of the church is your marriage may be thriving now, but had it not been for the church, where would your marriage be right now? Some of you, you know why you got the job? The church. You got it because of the church. Be careful what you pray for. We've had people pray for jobs. Ryan, I talked to a girl the other day. She said, Ryan, pray for me a job. I hadn't seen her in months. I said, what happened? She said, I got the job. And I ain't praying anymore. Right? Now I'm praying for her to lose the job. Right? But I love the church because of its fruit. When you think about the fruit of the church, if I could give you all this Garth Brooks microphone, and I could give it to you, and I could hand it to you, I'd have you stand up here, and I could say, hey, how has your life been changed by the church? We'd be here all night. If you could stand here, couple after couple, child after child, teenager after teenager, family member after family member, you'd set up here and you'd say, I'm changed because of this church. We're not very quick to give the church credit, are you, for that? But we need to understand the fruit of the church. There are kids running around here right now. Should not be running around here right now. Why is that? It's the church. Yeah, when you got the ultrasound, it was the church that gathered to pray. The doctor said, we're not sure what'll happen. It was the church that gathered around, linked arms, and prayed. When the doctor said, you know what, this might end bad, it was the church. It was the church. And I'm telling you, whether that little girl, little boy's running around here right now giggling, or whether you got you a casket the size of a shoebox and went to the cemetery, I'm telling you, the church would have been surrounding you. And God would have still been God. It's the church. I have watched the church go to lives and run toward lives that nobody else would run toward. It's the church. And when people stand on the outside of the church, on the other side of the door, and say, I'd never go in there because of that, I'm thinking, you have not listened to a thing you've heard inside a church. Because you take away the church, you take away the fruit is what you take away. Listen, you can go out there and walk out these doors and say, I'm never coming back. You better walk through a door of another church or your marriage won't make it. It won't. I'm telling you, it will fail. It is tough. I have no idea how marriages that don't have Jesus at the center of it make it. Because we've got Jesus at the center of ours, and it's like, whoo. You know what I mean? Anybody else going to have an amen from the ladies all over? Yeah. Come on, guys, amen that. Amen, Ryan, preach that. I wouldn't have made it. I would not have made it without the church. It was the church who gathered us together. It was the church who said, or couples retreats that gathered us together. The fruit of the church, my life is forever changed by the church. The fruit of it. You haven't just come here and for years and decades and have not been changed, have you? No, your life is different because you went from the outside to the inside. I love the church because of its fruit. And I think, where in the world would I be had I never came in? I want you to just think about that as we get ready to land, and just for a moment, where would you be right now? It's not a pretty end, is it? I love the church because of its founder. I love the church because of its foundation. I love the church because of its family. I love the function of the church. I love the fruit of the church. And last but not least, above all this, I love the church because of its future. Amen. I love it because of its future. The future of the church is strong. Now, the rest of the world seems a little shaky right now, doesn't it? We're not sure what to do. We're not sure how this all is going to turn out. But you can count on this. The church is going to stand. The church is going to last. Jesus said, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Gates are defensive. You don't put up a gate because you're on offense. You realize that when it comes to Jesus, that hell is on defense? Jesus, God never, never plays defense. You can amen that or tweet it, I don't care. But God never plays defense. God has never been shocked to his core and got up and paced the floor of heaven and said, what am I going to do now? God knows what he's doing. And I don't care what you see on the news tonight. The church is alive and well. And its future is as bright as Jesus Christ. Amen. We're laughing. I was telling them on social media the other day, we're getting our glasses ready on Monday. Just to look at two little things that God spoke into existence. Two of his toys. I'll whip up the sun and the moon, it says in Genesis. We have to have special glasses just to look at what he made. And the Bible says, we won't even need the sun where we're going. Amen. For he shall be the light. Yes. Amen. That's bright. I don't know where you sit today, but I'm telling you, don't you ever, young person, middle-aged or old, don't you ever let anybody talk you out of the church. Don't do it. On the inside, you know what's on the inside of this door. You know there's scars. You know there's problems. You know there's issues. You know there's hypocrites. Say amen to that right there. Amen. Had a 16-year-old girl come to me the other day and said, Ryan, the church is hypocrites. That was a fun conversation. She came one night and she was mad because somebody told her that I said something. She hadn't been there since the last eclipse, but she came to the church and she said, I heard you said something. And I said, oh, what did I say? And this, I was upset because she said it right, it was like getting ready to speak. She said, Ryan, I got something to say. So I heard you said something. I said, okay, talk. And she said, I heard you said that we shouldn't be in a relationship with someone who is from a divorced family. If their family's been divorced, they shouldn't be in a relationship with them. Now, backstory, I was actually given a red flag series, and what I was talking was about red flags in relationships. And one of the red flags is all our idea of marriage as we're growing up, we get our idea of marriage based upon our mom and dad. That's our first look at marriage. So the sermon was, a red flag, it doesn't mean you can't, it just means a red flag is, when you're going through premarital counseling, you should talk about that, because their view of marriage is that. That's Bible, right? You got to be careful. And the 16-year-old girl came, and she said, I heard you said we shouldn't be in a relationship with anyone whose family's been divorced. And sometimes God just gives you what to say. I said, you know what's interesting? My mom and dad were divorced. and they got married twice. And my sister is actually in pictures of the second wedding. And I'm looking at it like, what's my sister doing? And they said, oh, we got divorced and reconciled and we married again. I said, I'm actually the product of that. I couldn't preach that because I... She didn't say anything. Nothing. So then I sat down with her, and after the end, I sat down with her, and she said, the church is all hypocrites. I said, you know what hypocrisy is, right? It is to portray yourself toward a group of people as something that you're not. Hypocrisy in the old, in the original language was you would put on masks and you'd do a stage performance and you would portray yourself to a group of people as something that you're actually not. Who's not guilty of that? You ever portray yourself toward a certain group of people to be something that you're really not? I guarantee you that 16-year-old girl had. Just like this guy has. See, a good reason to run from the church is not because hypocrites are there. Because they're down the road too. You see, we, inside the church, what you need to know about the church is we know we are, and we know we need a Savior. And if you miss that, you miss the beauty of the church. We understand we can't do this marriage thing without Him. We understand we can't raise these kids without Him. We understand when health scares come, we got to lean on Him. We got to lean on the church. We understand that. So the reality is tonight, as we think about this, what side of the door are we going to live in? Well, hopefully we're going to live on both sides of the door. Hopefully you're going to be so in love with this church that what's going to happen is you're going to go out from here and you're going to knock on a neighbor's door and you're going to say, hey, I'm from Big Branch Church. And they're going to say, I don't know about Big Branch Church. And you're going to say, oh, I'm glad you asked, because I'm there every week. And then you're going to go to another door and you're going to say, hey, I'm from Big Branch Church. They're like, I don't want to hear it. And you're going to say, oh, but you got to let me tell you about our preacher. And then you're going to say, hey, I'm from Big Branch Church. They're like, I don't know about Big Branch Church. And you're going to say, oh, you got to hear about our youth ministry. You say, hey, I'm from Big Branch Church. And what's happening is the door is swinging because you're here on the inside. And because you're here on the inside, it gives you this confidence to go on the outside. We've got to stop treating Jesus like He's something that we didn't really want. And we're just kind of passing Him on. He's either the greatest thing ever or He's nothing. And so our responsibility as the church is to go out and go out from here and say, hey, we're the family of God. Jesus said, hey, who is my family? People who do my will. What's His will? It's the Bible. The will of God is the Word and the Word of God. So we run out from here and we run out of there in the highways and hedges. We say, you got to come to Big Branch Church. Well, what's back there? Oh, you got to come see. And they're going to see a really poorly painted. No, seriously, listen. They're going to see a really poorly painted person. They're going to see a poorly painted person who is simply leaning on a cross. I love the church. And you should too. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I don't know how you want to do this, but I do want to take a moment and maybe have a song with heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to do something. I want you to, for a few moments here, I want you to love your church. That's what I want you to do. I think it would be really neat here in a moment. Maybe for you to just... Maybe it's been a while since you've talked with someone in this room. You might need to say, I'm sorry to someone in this room. You might need to say, I forgive you to someone in this room. You might need to say, I love you to someone in this room. You might need to say, you know what? You might need to walk to a leader of this church and say, thank you. Thank you for reaching out to this poorly painted sinner. Because when I look back over my life, it's always been the church that's been there. It's always been them. And I think it'd be a really cool thing tonight as we get ready, if we could have a song here in a second. But would you tonight just go amongst each other as we sing a song? Would you maybe go hug a neck of someone, maybe have prayer with someone? Maybe a husband and wife, you'd want to come to this altar and say, God, thank you. Thank you for sending us to the church. God, counselors didn't help. Books didn't help. But the church did. And I never got over it. You holding that baby tonight, how precious they are. Who prayed? Who begged God on behalf of that little girl, that little guy? It was the church. It's the church. And so right now, as we come, we're gonna sing a song, but you may not know how to react to this, but it might be quiet, I don't know, but you will slip out of your seat. You might come to this altar and pray. But would you just move around this room? Maybe you need to hug your pastor. Listen, I trust you've prayed for your pastor this week. Don't you dare score his sermon tomorrow if you haven't prayed for him.
That's right.
Don't you walk out of here and score your sermon if you haven't begged God on his behalf. You got a youth director here. If you wrapped your arms around him and said, thanks for caring for my kids. Man, there ain't nobody like someone that'll love your kids. Somebody that'll take your kids, show them who Jesus is. So right now, all of this place, Kelly's going to start singing, and when she does, would you go hug a neck? Will you go pray for someone? Will you just be the church tonight? Let's just love on each other. God bless you.